Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about soldiers headed for summits and an upcoming event for our veteran-owned small businesses. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Today, I would like to congratulate two soldiers who recently represented the Minnesota National Guard in the Army National Guard Best Warrior Competition. Sergeant Corbin Routier competed in the Enlisted Division, and Staff Sergeant Michael Walker competed in the Non-Commissioned Officer Division. These Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers competed against the National Guard's best of the best for 3 days of physical and mental challenges. After the dust settled, Sergeant Routier came in second place and Sergeant Walker came in fourth place. To go through what they have been through in preparation says a lot about their character and the strength of the young soldiers in our state. They excelled physically through speed and endurance tests and mentally through exams and boards. These soldiers never quit and did not accept defeat. I am proud of each of their accomplishments, and I am proud of the competent, ready force the Minnesota National Guard will continue to provide to this state and nation.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Soldiers to Summits and the Mission Mount Whitney is Eric Halverson from Wells Fargo and Peter Bailey from Soldiers to Summits. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Tom.
Eric, I want to start with you. Wells Fargo, everybody in listening distance of this show knows who Wells Fargo is. How did you get involved in Soldiers to Summits?
So my role in Soldiers to Summits was the chairman of the selection committee of the actual participants. I was asked to do that with my work that I do with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program and also our Veterans Team Member Network.
So how long has Wells Fargo been involved with Soldiers to Summits?
So we started our selection process back in February of this year, but prior to that, we've been meeting with the Soldiers to Summits group to talk about our ability to support this campaign, what that would look like, and how we would actually help them throughout the climb itself, supporting both financially and emotionally and just general team member support.
Peter, with someone like Wells Fargo behind you, you've got some pretty strong support there. Can you tell us what is Soldiers to Summits? Where'd the idea come from, and how long have you been involved?
Yeah, very briefly, I'm a senior vice president at the Prouty Project, a consulting firm here in the Twin Cities, and we got connected with Eric Weinmayer, who was, you may have known, the blind climber who went to Everest a number of years ago. And this really was the brainchild of Eric, who said in his attempt on the mountain, so much came out of it as leadership and a recognition of who are the mountains or what are the mountains in our lives, that he wanted to bring this back to others. So he started a nonprofit called No Barriers to help other people recognize that there are barriers that they have and that they could probably take on some steps to learn to get through those barriers. And it was an obvious fit to look towards the returning soldiers. So in 2010, he did his first trip with Soldiers to Summits, taking them up a Himalayan peak called Lobosheh. And we had 10 veterans who had lost limbs, who were blind, who had TBI, and seven of those summited completely on that climb. So they had a phenomenal trip. And since then, we've just been building the groups to go to other large peaks. And I can tell you more about those, too.
So you had the inspiration.
Yeah.
And then you applied it to our wounded warriors.
Absolutely.
And what's the theory there? Does this help them get beyond the wounds, get beyond the wounds of war?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're really good at preparing our people to go over to have big experience like this, but we're not always as good about what to do when they come back. And so mountains can serve as a metaphor for when you go, you're preparing to climb in the mountains, then you're going through this challenging experience, some good, some hard, some bad, some are a real struggle. And then how do you come back from a mountain experience like that? How do you then reintegrate into your life, which then had an obvious fit to how do we help our veterans reintegrate to living civilian lives? So we've built curriculum around sort of a heroic journey, if you will, on the mountaineering, the team element, the preparation for doing hard skills at high altitude. And you don't have to be a climber to be doing this. It was really kind of a challenge to invite other people who were interested to work as a team. And it really brought back that team collaboration.
So, Peter, your background is helping business folks provide leadership skills, pull the people together, work together better.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that all get you over to helping veterans? How'd you get bit with the bug to help the veterans?
Well, you know, my dad was a Navy pilot, and he had some disabilities when he came back. And as a young boy, really struck with me. And I was involved in the Outward Bound school systems for many years, which is all the wilderness camping and climbing and adventure. And that linked to the understanding of leadership and how do we help others do better and be their personal best. And I'm just pretty passionate about how we can help people who are coming back recognize that they've got some choices, that they've got ways that we can serve others. You'll meet a couple of our veterans who have climbed on this call, and you'll hear how not only did it benefit them, how excited they are about helping other veterans get connected to this program.
We're speaking with Eric Halverson and Peter Bailey about Soldiers to Summits, the Mount Whitney mission on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Peter, this specific mission that's coming up this year, Mission Mount Whitney, can you tell me about that?
Certainly. You know, we looked at all the mountains that we've been trying to climb, and we did the Himalayan Peak, and we've done two of the Peruvian Andes. And we thought for this program working with Wells Fargo, let's find something in the contiguous U.S., and it's the tallest peak. It's 14,500 feet. So it's going to have some challenge for altitude. It's going to have some challenge for people to work as a team to accomplish this. But it also is an easy mountain for us to follow the adventures of our team live and in blogs as they go forward. And with support from Wells Fargo, we're very excited to have the team have a couple of training missions in Colorado Rockies prior to this climb. And we'll have some active reporting about those as well.
So, Eric, you're going to climb the mountain?
I would certainly love to climb the mountain, but I think, you know, we'll let the climbers that we've selected do that. But we, you know, like Peter was saying, we do have the opportunity to do some training with them. In our first meeting, when we kind of brought the group together about a month or so ago now, we had a chance to sit down with them, meet them, learn their stories. And then while they were out training on St. Mary's Glacier, the rest of us went out and did a walk with some of the alumni climbers and talked about the experience they went through and gave us a chance to get a sense for the emotional component of it, the no barriers mindset that they learned, and really got a sense for what they're going to be feeling and going through as they're going up Mount Whitney.
So they did let you out of the bank.
They did let us out of the bank, yes, indeed. It was a great afternoon.
Peter, how many of our veterans did you choose, and how did you choose them?
You know, these are 15 of the veterans, and I might refer that one to Eric because he was a big part of the selection committee.
So we took a look at all the different folks that had applied, and we were looking for a really diverse group that would come from all the different services if possible. We wanted both male and female. We wanted a variety of different injuries represented so that we knew the group would have, you know, different ways to connect with each other, break down some of those good old-fashioned service rivalries, and then really kind of looked at, you know, what were the people were coming from? Were they coming from across the country? So in the end, it kind of just fell into a very diverse group of ages, races, male and female, and all the services. So it was a pretty easy process, but at the same time, you know, it would have been nice to have a much bigger group with the number of people that did apply. But in the end, I think we ended up with a really good cross-section of people.
And Peter, how do we make sure that this is a safe mission?
Oh, well, we've been very carefully selecting people who are former Himalayan climbers who are the best in the world. And we've got two or three of them on each of our expeditions. We've connected with the top mountaineering altitude sickness doctors and medical professions so that we've got folks at every step of the way making sure that people are doing well. In fact, Eric mentioned one of the early the glacier climb was a shakedown trip to make sure that people could, in fact, do what they were attempting to do.
Eric, you're looking a little peaky. Do you have an altitude sickness here?
I'll tell you, when you come from the Twin Cities, and I think, what are we, about 900 feet above sea level, but going up to even 7,000 or 8,000 square or feet above ground, you start to feel it. And you can imagine, you know, if you doubled that, you know, how challenging that's actually going to be. So not only are you ascending, you know, a very tall vertical distance, but also being lightheaded at the time, it's going to be challenging for sure.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. In the second segment, we're going to bring in a couple of your climbers, and we're going to talk to them. And then if you'd step back in for the third segment, we'll wrap this up. So for our listeners, this is Minnesota Military Radio. We're talking about Soldiers of the Summit and the Mission Mount Whitney. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been discussing today Soldiers to Summits and the Mission Mount Whitney. And joining me today in the studio, we have three climbers, two former climbers and one that's in waiting. And we're going to talk to them one at a time and learn about Soldiers to Summits and why our former veterans would want to go climb a mountain. We're going to start out with Pedro Sotelo. Pedro, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, you're a former climber, correct?
That's correct.
You were in the Army?
U.S. Army, Iraq 2003.
Iraq 2003. Now, how did you find out about Soldiers to Summits?
It was a part of my recovery process. I have been struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury for several years. And through the course of that, I lost hope on just about everything. Doing pills and therapy, the VA was not really doing it for me. And searching for something new, I found the documentary of Soldiers to Summits being broadcasted in AT&T, UVerse. And once I saw that, I noticed that what they were saying and how the mountains were giving them back their lives, it was something that gave me hope. So I immediately applied for them and got accepted to come and climb a mountain in Peru last year.
So was it the idea of a challenge? I'm going to go climb this mountain?
It was the idea of doing something that I will ever be able to recover from as I struggled so hard with post-traumatic stress disorder. I needed hope. And seeing the faces of the people that had been climbing and seeing that they were recovering, I figured I have to try this myself. And it paid off.
So if you can go climb a mountain, you can do anything.
That's the way I look at it today. That's correct. If you can climb an 18,000-foot mountain, I believe that you can climb anything in life.
Now, there's no way I'm ever going to do that, but you went and did it, and you enjoyed it?
Absolutely. The journey was fantastic. Meeting a team, being part of a team was another part of my recovery process. And today, I am so happy I did this. It gave me my life back. My wife can attest to this. She said that she has her boyfriend back because of this reason. So I am excited of what's happening and how my life is going right now.
So your advice to other veterans thinking about joining this program and climbing mountains?
Take a look at what's going on in your life and make sure that you want to move forward and see this program as something that can give you one or more tool for your life moving forward. I believe that there is something in here that can help you. And if you really want to take a challenge, join us and we'll be glad to have you.
Pedro, thank you. And I'm glad this worked out well for you.
Thank you so much.
Next, we're going to Michelle Poitier. Michelle, you were in the United States Navy.
Yes, I was. I was in the United States Navy as a cryptologist. I did 13 years.
And did you enjoy your time in the Navy?
I very much so enjoyed my time.
After you got out of the Navy, did you have some issues like Pedro?
Well, I had issues after the military, but it was because of some trauma that I encountered during my first duty station. I am a post-traumatic stress disorder survivor due to the effects of military sexual trauma. I was assaulted by a fellow service member.
Well, we're always sorry to hear about that. We've got a show coming up in September about preventing sexual abuse, and we talk about that on this radio station quite a bit, so I'm sorry to hear that. Why in the world did you want to go climb a mountain?
Because I had reached a point in my life where I was struggling in all areas of my life. I was not wanting to live. I was struggling with relationships and employment issues and just not able to connect. I had isolated myself and lost my faith and hope in mankind and, you know, fellow service members. So a fellow colleague and former veteran of mine, Sarah Actaby, told me about Soldiers to Summits and her experience and the no barriers mindset, which is what's within you is stronger than what's in your way. And it kind of resonated with me because at that point, I was at the point where I was ready to die. I was existing. I didn't want to live. But when she told me about her experience and the tools that they used that helped her to overcome, it just resonated within me. And it was twofold because I was able to confront a fear of heights that I've always had. Yes. So that mountain was the metaphor. If you can climb a mountain, you can overcome anything, really.
Really a double barrier for you then.
Yes.
And you got over it, and what mountain did you climb?
I climbed with Pedro. We climbed the Mariposa one in Peru, the Andes Mountain. So I'm not going to say I overcame my fear of heights, but I confronted it, and I won.
And you dealt with it.
I dealt with it.
I'm trying to visualize the two of you climbing a mountain, and I can't do it because I'm not going to climb a mountain.
It was an amazing experience because it helped me to replace the bad memories that I had from my service members with good memories. There was an incident with one soldier in particular, Zach Givens, where we were coming back down the mountain after we summited in training, and I slid, and I was going to slide the rest of the way down because I was afraid to get up and continue to go down. And he came up to me, and he helped me get down the rest of down the mountain. And at the end of the training, we had to present each other with flags, the No Barriers flags, and say why. And so he gave me the flag and said that he gave it to me because I helped him to regain the trust in his ability to have people under his control and be able to be okay with that, because he was not trusting himself to lead others because he lost his troops and he felt responsible. And it helped me twofold because I trusted him immediately to help me down the mountain. So it was
he helped himself in his act of helping you.
Exactly.
So this was a big change in your life?
It was a turning point in my life. Yes, it was.
And what would you say to other veterans thinking about climbing a mountain?
I would say that that metaphor is so true. If you can climb a mountain, you can overcome any obstacle. I reclaim my life, and I reclaim my sense of purpose, and I now want to dedicate my life to helping other veterans get back to living.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're speaking to some former climbers and a new climber about Soldiers to Summits and the Mission Mount Whitney. And joining me now is Diggs Brown. Dig, you were in the Army?
I was. I have 34 years of combination of active duty, guard, and reserve time. I did a tour of Afghanistan when the war first started in 2002 and was there through 2003 and a couple other deployments here and there around the world. Sweet. And out of all that time, you know, just two really bad days.
And because of that, you've got a new friend, Arthur.
I do. I have a service dog. His name's Arthur. He's from a program called Puppies Behind Bars up in New York, and they train the dogs in the penitentiary. So it's a win, you know, for the inmates, and it's a win for the soldier who winds up with the dog.
And what does Arthur do for you?
Well, he is a PTSD dog and a seizure. Turned out the meds the VA had me on were causing me to lock up and fall over every once in a while. And the dog, he'll start nudging me and let me know it's time to sit down. It's a much shorter fall from a chair than it is to be standing up and falling over. But since I've gotten the dog, I've gotten off of, you know, the meds that the VA had me on, and life is rosy once again.
Now, Diggs, how did you find out about Soldiers to Summits?
Well, that's an interesting story. I spent almost my entire career in special operations and had a 12-man A-team, and my medic actually emailed me. He got blown up twice, and he emailed me and said, hey, there's this great organization, Soldiers to Summits, and I need a letter of reference. And he told me a little bit about it. I said, I tell you what, Don, I'll write you a letter. You write me one. And so we did, and Don unfortunately did not get accepted. He wouldn't have been able to do it. He's really messed up, but they accepted me. And my big drawback is that I'm the oldest member of the team of the 15 that are climbing Mount Whitney.
And I still can't wrap my mind around this thing. You're going to go climb a mountain.
I am. We've already climbed one. We did James Peak. It was the shakedown climb, you might call it, in Colorado, where they issue all the gear. You don't have to bring any gear. You get all the gear, all the clothing, the boots, the tents, and everything. And we did James Peak. It was 13.5. We have another climb coming up next month to see what kind of shape you've gotten yourself into. And that one will be over at Leadville, Colorado. And then Whitney will be the first part of September, and it's a 14.8.
Well, is Arthur going to be able to go along in part of this?
He may make it to Leadville, but I'm not going to take him to Whitney. That may be a bit much for him. He's got four legs to move. I only have two.
Wow. Climb a mountain. So you've heard the Pedro and Michelle tell us about their experience, and I'm told that there's some very good trainers that are getting you ready for this, so it's going to be a safe experience.
Oh, no doubt. And you know what? You look at the veterans that are climbing with me, like I said, there are 15 of us, and you have people with an assortment of injuries, anything from a physical injury to not-so-visible injury like PTSD or a TBI. And you're working with a team. You're on a team once again. You're helping each other out. You're encouraging each other. And I believe with encouragement in this life, you can accomplish anything.
So, Diggs, we got just about a minute left. What are your expectations for this climb, and what do you see afterwards?
Well, I really expect the climb is not going to be a walk in the park, you know, at all, because we are carrying a lot of gear. And it's going to be a challenge, but it's one that we will all accept and that we will all overcome. And I hope that in the future that I'm able to encourage other veterans to participate in a event like this and move beyond whatever is holding them up in their life at the moment.
Diggs, I wish you well on this climb, and I expect you and Arthur to come back and visit and let us know how it went.
Will do.
All right, Pedro, Michelle, Diggs, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back in a moment to wrap things up on Soldiers of Summits, Mission Mount Whitney. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We'll be back in a moment with more about soldiers headed for summits. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Have you or your loved ones been affected by recent severe weather in Minnesota? You may be eligible for disaster relief grants through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans, their families, and surviving spouses in 16 counties across Minnesota may apply for assistance. The eligible counties are Anoka, Chippewa, Chisago, Dakota, Hennepin, Itasca, Kandy Ohio, Lacqui-Parle, Martin, Marshall, Stearns, Wabasha, Washington, Watonwan, Wright, and Yellow Medicine. Relief grants can provide veterans and their families up to $1,000 of support if they have not received other state and federal assistance. To apply for the grant, contact your county veteran service officer or call 1-888-LINK-VET. For more information, visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we now have Eric Halverson and Peter Bailey back in the studio. And Peter, I want to start with you. Those were three brave veterans, two of whom have climbed a mountain. And when I asked them if it was beneficial, the look on their face was just priceless. And then Diggs, I couldn't talk him out of doing it. That's quite a program.
Well, we're pretty excited. And again, I think you're right about the energy in their eyes. One of the real exciting pieces of this is the mentoring that soldiers who go on this course are able to then do for other soldiers. With Wells Fargo supporting us and this next group coming out, have some of the same kind of people helping other soldiers get into the next role. So we're very excited about that.
So they go climb a mountain and then they reach back and they pull the next one along and say, let's get you fixed up too.
Yep, exactly.
How do our listeners follow the mission?
Well, if you go to our website, soldierstosummit.org, it's a good idea to just look at all the links there and find out. I know we'll get it from your radio station here. There's also a video called High Ground, which you can get on Netflix, and it's about a 90-minute film, and it gives you an idea of all the experiences that people had in the Lobuche Himalayan trip that they did, which was also Soldier to Summit. So that's a great video that would give anybody interested a chance to watch that and then go to our website. And then if you hit an email, apply, just sign on, and we want you to go through the website and send your application in. We're really interested in people across the country, and as Eric said, from every service branch and men and women, please apply.
We'll have links to that website on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. And Peter, last question, when is this again?
Coming right up, we have it in
September.
Yep.
September 1st.
We're hoping to get them to summit on 9/11.
All right, Peter. This is quite an undertaking, and I imagine Wells Fargo has put his full force behind the Soldiers of Summits.
We really have. There's been a marketing campaign that we've done internally with our team members first to kind of let everyone know within the company that this is going on, and then we're now going out nationally, letting the general population know that not only is Soldiers to Summits the great program that it is, but letting them know that Wells Fargo is a premier sponsor of it and making sure that we get more awareness around this program so that we can get even more people involved in it.
And Eric, Wells Fargo is now a Yellow Ribbon company.
We are indeed. We were announced last year, and really that the Yellow Ribbon Company designation lets our team members as well as the community know that we have an unprecedented support of both service members, veterans, and their families. That Yellow Ribbon status tells our community that we're here to support them in whether that's pre-deployment ceremonies, coming home ceremonies, and then everything else in between, from supporting things such as Reefs Across America, where we partnered with the Boy Scouts of America to clean up reefs from Fort Snelling, to Habitat for Humanity, where we support reconstruction of homes for veterans, And many, many other things, including the Military Family Foundation, and then most recently the Military Family Tribute, the new memorial that's being constructed on the Capitol grounds.
Just broke ground on that, and we'll have a show over there next June when it's completed. That's going to be a fabulous piece of real estate for Minnesota families.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think it's really the unsung heroes of all of this are always the families, the people that are left behind and having to keep moving on, and then helping their soldier, sailor, or airmen come when they come back, helping them to reintegrate. So we can't underestimate their value in all of this as well.
And Wells Fargo has also been involved in the annual stand downs.
That's correct. The MACV stand down has been one of our kind of premier events here in Minnesota that we participate in every year. And typically speaking, we have anywhere from 60 to 90 volunteers that show up and either do general duties, but we also do a sock drive every year. So we collect socks and undergarments and toiletries to hand out to the homeless veterans as well. So we never have a problem getting people to sign up. We usually end up having to turn a few folks away because, once we get to about 90 participants, that's about all we can handle. But it's a really compelling story to see how many homeless veterans there are. And it's not just older folks, it's younger folks as well. So
yeah, and anything we can do to help get them off the streets.
Exactly correct.
Peter, final thoughts about Soldiers of Summits?
Well, again, I just want to thank Eric Halverson and his team. They've gone above and beyond. Every time we do a training, he brings a team of 13 out. So their connection to the soldiers has been huge as an organization and a corporation. We can't thank you enough.
It's our pleasure.
Eric, you're doing a fabulous job over at Wells Fargo. Any final thoughts for our listeners on Soldiers of Summits Mission Mount Whitney?
I'd say just please go out to the website and get interested in it and make sure that you let your fellow veterans, I'm sure everybody in this country knows of somebody who served in our military, so let them know of the program and let's get more people to get interested and get signed up. And please follow along on the blog as well. You can keep track of what the climbers are up to and follow along on their journey.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us today and for bringing along some climbers. And I'm going to be, for one, going to be following this to see how they're doing.
Great. Thanks for the
opportunity. Thanks a lot. Thank you for your support.
That was Eric Halverson from Wells Fargo and Peter Bailey from Soldiers of Summits on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now to talk about the AUSA Veteran-Owned Small Business Seminar on September 17th this year is Mike Herring and Tony Watts. Mike is an attorney from the Minneapolis area, and Tony is a business banker with U.S. Bank. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Tom.
Mike, I'm going to start with you. You were in the Army.
I was, Tom. I was in the Army from 1997 to 2004. I got out as a captain with the 101st Airborne. I had a pleasure of serving our country in Iraq in 2003.
And now you're a business attorney in the Twin Cities.
I am.
And a member of the VESE chapter of the AUSA.
That is correct. I also serve as their vice president of the subchapter for the veteran-owned businesses.
All right. Tony, you're a business banker with U.S. Bank?
Correct.
And you're also a Marine?
I am a Marine. I spent 4 years from 93 to 97 in the United States Marine Corps, was a heavy machine gunner, infantry, and also coached the recruits on the rifle range.
And you look like you could still do that, Tony.
Well, my body doesn't say so, but... I'm glad you feel that way.
All right. Now, U.S. Bank, your position over there, once again, you're a business banker?
Business banking officer.
So you serve customers all over the Twin Cities?
I do. I have a territory that I cover, and I do commercial loans for U.S. Bank.
Mike, I'm coming back to you. We're here today to talk about an event for small business owners. Can you tell me what it's about and when and where?
Well, what it's about, educating veterans on how to start a business, grow a business, or move on from their business, retire and have a succession plan in place. We are hosting that event on September 17th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to start off with a lot of good stuff, so I want to encourage all of your listeners to come out and try to attend.
And where is it?
It is in Bloomington at the what used to be the Radisson, now the Doubletree. If you know it as Radisson, that's down in Bloomington. If not, you look for the Doubletree sign.
And this event was put together by the members of the subchapter of the VESE chapter of the AUSA, which is the the veteran-owned small business subchapter.
It is being put on by the subchapter with the help and sponsorship of U.S. Bank. They've really stepped up, and Tony and his people and the people at U.S. Bank have been wonderful, and we're really proud to have them work with us.
Tony, can you explain to me how U.S. Bank got involved in this event?
Well, first, we're very involved in the veteran community, hiring veterans, and we wanted to give back to that community. The way that we're doing it is sponsoring this event. We have the ballroom. We have a great guest speaker coming on. We're hoping to do this on an annual basis. This is the first annual, but very excited to be a part of it. Anything, our CEO gave us carte blanche to hold this event and pull out all the stops so that we could make this something special and something that people are going to remember and want to come back on a yearly basis.
Now, Tony, sometime in the last year or two, U.S. Bank was proclaimed as a yellow ribbon company by the governor. And at that time, there was a big push to hire a lot of veterans. What's going on there now?
We have what's called a Proud to Serve program. We've hired approximately 2,000 veterans to work at, actually approximately 2,000 veterans work for U.S. Bank at this time, including National Guard and Reserve members. Hired approximately 1,300 veterans just since January 2012. That makes up approximately 3% of our employees are veterans, and approximately 3.4% of those employees are managers. So, again, starts from the top down. Richard Davis, our chief executive officer, loves veterans, knows the benefits of hiring veterans, and just giving back to our country for those veterans that have given to us. So
is the bank still looking to hire veterans?
Absolutely. USBank.com, just look for employment opportunities. We are always looking for veterans. We know the importance of giving back to the veterans, and they make great employees, as you can see from myself.
So as a veteran, you're happy to be a member of U.S. Bank.
I am very happy to be with U.S. Bank. I'm going on my 10th year, and I couldn't think of a better place to work.
Mike, we just got about a minute left before we go to break, but it sounds like you've got one of the best sponsors you could have for this program. U.S. Bank certainly is veteran-friendly, and having them back in this and helping pay some bills is going to allow you to put on a good seminar.
It is, and when we first had the idea of having the seminar, cost was important, and trying to find a way to pay for it. Obviously, AUSA is a nonprofit. We don't have much money, but U.S. Bank stepped up to the plate and has hit it out of the park, and we are very thankful for their partnership.
And this subchapter of the AUSA is small businesses owned by veterans that have come together to try to help each other navigate the waters of veteran contracts and how to do business with veterans, all those things.
All those things, and network together and try to help one another out. Exactly. We want to be there, and you know, that brotherhood and sisterhood, or that fellowship and the camaraderie that we've shared in the military comes over in business as well. And it's really nice to go once a month over to the AUSA and meet with my fellow brothers and sisters that are actually out there owning businesses.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dig into this event a little bit, who's it for, what it's about, and what they can learn there. We're speaking with Tony Watts and Mike Herring on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be back in a moment to talk about their upcoming event. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Mike Herring and Tony Watts, and we're talking about the AUSA Veteran-Owned Small Business Seminar coming up on September 17th. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about that right now, but to find more information, you can go to AUSAveteranevent.com or go to our Facebook page at Minnesota Military Radio, and we'll have a link for you. Mike, tell me about the event. Where is it? When is it? And who do you want to have come?
Again, September 17, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We want veterans, their spouses, or current active or reservist National Guard members there in attendance, people that either want to own a business or thinking about starting a business, existing businesses.
Grow a business.
Grow a business, wherever they are in business.
All right.
We want them there.
And where is it?
It's at Bloomington. It's in Bloomington at the Doubletree at 7800 Normandale Boulevard down in Bloomington.
And once again, you can find more information on that on our Facebook page. Now, what are the veterans going to learn when they come to the seminar?
They're going to learn, it depends on where they are in business. If they're a new business, they're going to learn how to formulate a business plan, what it takes to have, what is actually in a business plan, what's in a marketing plan. They're going to learn some marketing strategies. They're going to get some legal help and some accounting help and some social media help. If they're intermediate business and in existence for 2 to 4 or 5 years, they're going to get some of that same help. It'll be advanced accounting. It'll be advanced marketing strategies.
So you're going to have some good business advisors there to help help them learn how to grow and get ready to sell their business someday.
Excellent presenters that will be there teaching them how to grow their business or sell it or start it.
And Tony, U.S. Bank is sponsoring this, and you've got a keynote speaker.
We do. We have Patrick Hanlon coming in. He's nationally known. And actually, Mike knows a little bit more about him, so I'll let him talk about Patrick for a moment.
Mike?
Patrick Hanlon is the CEO of Thinktopia. He also has a book out on marketing, and Primal Branding is the name of his book. He's coming as, you know, he's going to be a really great speaker. He's also an Army veteran, and he has a program where he gives back to soldiers as well called Start Me Over. He's just a really good friend of the veteran community, obviously a veteran himself, so we're really excited about having Patrick come out.
We're speaking with Mike Herring and Tony Watts about the AUSA Veteran-Owned Small Business Seminar on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Tony, U.S. Bank is a sponsor of the event, but you're also going to help put on some of these subsections, right?
We are, myself included. We have some bankers that'll be there to talk to veteran business owners, like Mike was describing, who we're inviting, going through topics from how to start a business to how to sell a business and everything in between. So we'll have some people from U.S. Bank there presenting, and then we're going to have also some experts in different fields like Mike. And Mike's a lawyer, so he'll be there talking about setting up articles and starting a business and things like that. So pretty much anything a business wants to learn about from the start to finish, we're going to have somebody there to talk to him.
And Mike, that hotel's a pretty big spot. How much room do you have? How many people can you handle?
Well, that's a great question. And I have a bet with another guy in AUSA that won't hit over 300. I'd like to see that shatter the 300 mark and me have to pay up on the bet. We're going to do Manny's for a steak dinner if we go over 300, or at least I'll have to buy a steak dinner for somebody.
So, Mike, I want to just go through this quickly. Registration is at 11 o'clock. Keynote speakers at 12:30. You're going to have some breakout sessions from 1:30 to 2:20. You're going to have some more at 2:30 and 3:30. Wrap it up about 4:30, and from 5 to 7, the veterans can get together and do some networking with some appetizers and cash bar.
That is correct.
So this is more than just go attend a seminar. This is meet some fellow veteran business owners and see if you can help each other and send some business back and forth, and let's get moving.
It's education, it's fellowship, it's everything, and we're really excited about having it. Again, it's September 17th, 11 to 7. If you're a veteran, a spouse, in the Guard, Reserves, come on out. You will come away with some great knowledge.
Tony, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts from U.S. Bank?
I would just like to thank you again for having us on today, and we look forward to seeing everyone out there on September 17th.
Mike, last call.
Thanks for having us here, and please, please sign up and come on out.
And once again, you can go to the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page and find a link for more information on the AUSA Veteran-Owned Small Business Seminar, September 17th. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Tom.
Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, I understand you've had a busy month with the riders.
The month of July was very heavy with the funerals, and especially Fort Snelling. Total for the month, we did about 48 missions or 48 funerals. Some of those are welcome homes. We did one welcome home. And we had one active duty.
So a real busy month for your riders, and they showed up and honored those that passed.
Yep, very, very busy. It kind of relates to almost, every day there's a mission.
Well, I'm certainly glad that there's Patriot Guard riders out there to show up and do that, because it's a fantastic thing. If our listeners haven't seen it, go watch it and sign up. Who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone. 3x5 flag, patriotic heart, and a vehicle to get there.
And a willingness to show up. Honor.
Dignity and respect.
Attaboy. Now, there's one aspect of your missions that I don't think we've ever talked about on the radio, and besides veterans, service members, military, first responders.
We do. First responders in the line of duty. If we're invited, we will be there. They're just as important as everybody else protecting our freedoms. It's just here at home.
Tim, we unfortunately lost the first responder recently, Officer Scott Patrick.
Yes, we did. It was a very sad day.
Were you and the riders out on the line?
We were. First day at the visitation, we had 110 Patriot Guard riders standing guard around the church for the whole service or the whole visitation, which is about 8 hours. And then we did the funeral and the church service, surrounded the church for a couple hours.
The second day.
And then went out to the cemetery and watched guard while they buried our hero.
Triple duty. And your riders showed up in mass.
Oh, they did. They did. We had quite a few people show up.
So for our first responders, if a tragedy occurs and we lose one for police, fire, EMT,
yep.
All they have to do is go to your website.
Yep. Go to our website. On the left side, it says invite us and fill in the information so we can see what we can do.
Well, Tim, I'm glad to see you again here on Minnesota Military Radio, and I hope it's not so busy in the future, although you can't control that at all, can you?
We can't, but we hope we don't have to, but we're there if we need to.
Well, thanks for joining us today in the studio again, Tim.
Thank you.
This is Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, all of our guests from Soldiers to Summits, Mike Herring, Tony Watts, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week from Tartan Park in Lake Elmo for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic, raising funds to help our Minnesota military families. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.